Okay, right, yes, I'm doing this one as a podcast tonight. Reason is this session on scrying I did at the recent real life Children of Artemis event called the Artemis Gathering. It was a month ago today, or a month ago tomorrow, and there we're not really allowed to take photos or record things. And quite a few people do seem to like coming to these, so I'm recording this one. Hopefully, the noises of you typing and stuff won't make it onto the podcast because I don't have it hooked up to the headphones. So, people listening to the podcast should just know that I'm recording this on Second Life. There are people here, yay, and they're all listening too. And hopefully, no pressure, folks. Asking questions. Not compulsory. You don't have to. But yes, it can. I have no problems. Those that have come to my real life one and those that come to my Second Life ones will know that I'm not here just to talk to you. I have a plan. That's my notes, and these notes are very notey. I will throw the link there for everybody. Normally, I'd have some notes on a note card that I will then share after the session, but this being not for Second Life, I've not uploaded the notes, but they're on my blog, as those that will be listening to the podcast probably know. Now, what was I saying? Oh, yes, interaction. As I can say, you can read the notes. So I'm not just going to read the notes to you. I will frequently go off topic and include things that aren't in the notes because either someone will ask a question or something will occur to me that I should have put in my notes, but I haven't. And because you can read them, I can just talk about them instead. So always a good idea. My notes are freely available on the blog, and I do normally do a session. This would normally be the starting of a new series, a repeat series of the 6 or 7 sessions on visualization and astral projection. But this time, before I start a new series, I'm going to be throwing in a few extra sessions that people have requested. This one's going to be on scrying because it gives me a bit of time to work out what I'm going to do for the next one. Next one may be on evocation. And the following one will probably be on invocation, although I might combine the two. But anyway, back to the session tonight. I'm Kia. I'm Kia Hakey, here on Second Life on the COA forums. I've got Twitter under that name and Facebook and all sorts of other stuff. And the blog, as you can see, there is Kia Hakey Me UK. I think Samara has been the only one. Oh no, I'm sure Corvus, have we've met before, haven't we? I'm sure we have. I recognise the name. So, sort of. I like the vagueness. Probably. Fair enough. Okay. We'll go. Seeing there's at least half the people here I've not encountered and. Okay. Probably. I've got a vague memory. Everyone has problems with the voice. Now, I'm solitary. As you can see, I'm wearing an Egyptian headdress and Egyptian. I have, for want of a better word, been a follower of the Egyptian goddess Salget. That's the English spelling of her name. The other name I use in ritual use is Serket-Hetu. And now I tend to combine Serket-Hetu Hor. Hetor is form of Hathor, or is the Middle Egyptian name for Hathor. So I combine the two, and that's been this year so far. Now, I've been with her, Salket, since I was 7. That's a good 30 odd years or so ago now. We've been working together. Shadow, I think voice is gone. Okay, you're back again. Okay, so I've been working with her primarily in astral magic and astral projection. Now, scrying, and we'll smoothly move on to the topic of tonight is an interesting one. Divination, as you've probably all encountered fairly early on your path, is one of the most accessible occult forms of study and practice people will encounter. It's usually everybody's first go because it's so accessible. Divination, and this is always my own experiences I will talk about. If you do have questions, put them in local chat and feel free to ask anything, or if you need me to repeat something, I will. I'm quite happy to do that. As I said earlier on, you can read the notes, but if you've got a burning question you want to ask, ask it. If not, find me some other time through some other means, and I'm happy to discuss any aspect of these things I talk about. So divination to me is not quite the same as scrying. Scrying to me is primarily a clairvoyant skill, whereas divination, using various systems and so on, are less of a clairvoyant. Clairvoyancy does come into it after a while, certain systems where you move away from the symbolic stuff that you were taught and then go purely intuitive, i.e. clairvoyant. That's fine, no problems with that, I quite accept that. Scrying, purely, basic start, is, I think, a clairvoyant skill. The other stuff, and, oh, I've got this in the notes, and I'm going to mention it because it is really quite fun. The other end of the divination scale is things like bisortes. No one know what bisortes is? Excellent. I'm so glad people... Oh, good. By sorties, it's by drawing lots. I think it was a year or so ago, I went to Egyptian Archaeological Society conference on scrying, which was really cool. A whole day on just purely Egyptian divination methods. And there was this brilliant one, and I mentioned this at the Artemis Gathering as well because it's so funny, is there's some divination sorties, lots, oracles were found at the Temple of Dendera. And this guy, and we have no idea the outcome, he was trying to do a divination for marriage. And he had written this petition of, Goddess Hathor, can you help me decide which woman I should marry? And then he wrote the name of woman A, woman B, none, and then woman A again. And it was quite clear from that he was trying to tip his luck to pick A in preference. It was, yes, obviously there was obviously no skill. He was just going to throw the lot probably and then pick one up randomly and possibly pick it up again and again and again until it got the right one. But it's obviously this is just a normal layperson who would have had no skills in divination, and this was perfectly accessible. So from that end to scrying, where things start to get a little bit more interesting. Now, how do I see it differing? As I say, it's a purely clairvoyant skill. Scrying also has lots of other aspects to it. There are a great book on evocation by a guy called Constantinus, and I think he's a chaos magician. Some of my background's in chaos magic, which is where I somehow get some of my odd ideas from. So forgive me for odd ideas, because I have quite an unusual background. Now, he says in evocation that scrying is essentially dreaming with eyes open. And I definitely agree. That's why I say it's a clairvoyantly driven skill. It is. It's a really nice way to say what it actually boils down to. So how is this dreaming with eyes open achieved? The medium of choice tends to be, as far as I'm concerned, a secondary one. As long as you can achieve a soft focus and enter that dream state with your eyes open to receive whatever imagery is how you want to see them go, then fine. For example, most commonly people will use, say, a magic mirror, either an obsidian or some dark polished stone. The Dr. John Dee used a black mirror such as that, or some use ink dropped in a bowl of water. That's never worked for me either. You're trying to attempt some kind of soft self-hypnosis state to create this detachment from everything around you. In a way, it's similar along the same lines as meditation, but whereas meditation is a passive feel to it where you are just shutting everything down and being receptive in a way, scrying tends you to be a little bit more active. There's a bit of more mental side to it. Like he was saying with the dreaming with eyes open, the other parallel side part of it is similar to lucid dreaming, astral projection, and so all those kind of things, where another great writer that I'm pretty fond of called Robert Bruce, in his book Astral Dynamics, describes astral projection, lucid dreaming, all of those as mind awake, body asleep. So again, you're in this sort of dreamlike state where there's a detachment of your processing going on. But the actual medium, as I say, is secondary. It comes down to where you find the move. For example, and I'll go through a number of things that I've tried in a, the notes are all over the place, but I'll go through them now. There, for me, I've got the attention span of a gnat, so anything that's too subtle to keep my attention, I will lose. Try as I might, that's just the way I'm working. I'm always moving, always doing something. So for me, fire scrying is my preferred means of scrying. There's a flickering light. A candle just doesn't stick for me, even with a slight breeze. It's just so with the fire scrying, there it is just the whole mass of flickering flames where the picture's changing in front of me all the time. It's enough to give that slight hypnotic state. I'm not sure whether it comes down to the fact that fire is in a, well, depends on your social background, but for here in the UK, TV has replaced the fireplace in the centre of most. Now, people start to equate that flicker of the TV is same to the flicker of the fireplace. The TV is on, there's this sort of flickery light going on. Most people are unaware of it when you have people in, you're talking. But it seems to be a soothing effect that there's this slightly flickering light going on. I first got started with fire scrying through two means. There was, we used to have a bonfire night, Guy Fawkes night, on 5th of November. And we had a street one and it was huge. It was almost the size of a house, the amount of wood people put on it. It just loved the fire. Also, the TV, it would end at a certain time of day back in those in the 70s, and left with all the white dots of the analog signal. Now we've got digital, we don't get any of that, but this flickering light is a bit like, and I mentioned this in the at the talk, is Poltergeist, the film Poltergeist. I've had some instances similar, but not quite as nasty. Again, it is just the same kind of effect as the fireplace. It's the flickering dots, they create imagery, and that's the kind of thing you're after. What imagery you produce, well, that's down to whether you're looking internally or externally, sources of problems. If you start getting freaked out by watching white noise on a TV, then you may need to see a psychiatrist or something else. But anyway, but as I was saying, it's the way to keep attention. If you've got the skill and you've got the patience to use a mirror, it's not a problem. As I say, it's a secondary thing. You need to work out what's good for you. There are many benefits to scrying, not necessarily, as I said, with the Constantinus book on evocation. His proposition of scrying is dreaming with eyes open was to make the point that evocation, you need to get to grips with scrying, where you are essentially looking at imagery that may not be, well, energy that's moving around external to you, but to enhance your clairvoyant skills for when you're doing evocation, you're getting a spirit come towards you. You need to be able to see it, not just feel it. So scrying develops those clairvoyant skills that you need to perfect evocation. But not just that, any kind of energy work in general, casting circles or so on, and you need to do visualization, then scrying again will help with the imagery side. Stepping back a little bit to what I was saying about the white noise and the need for a psychiatrist sometimes. I frequently need one. There's this varying levels. It depends on how you view any kind of aspect to meditation and spirit. But I've got quite a strong science background. So I tend to view and are fairly analytical in my approach to my craft. For me, any kind of meditation and scrying as a form of meditation, as a form of looking within, see functions on a variety of different levels. The subconscious, stuff that I've pushed down to the subconscious, and then going all the way through to stuff that's external through my deity and through other spirits in the area. It's a conduit to communication with myself and external sources. Now, there's a number of other methods of scrying. Now, again, no worries. Good to see you. Any questions, let me know. So, yes, other means. For me, as I said, the fire stuff works on a number of levels. My background is in chaos magic and hermeticism through my goddess, and then I moved on to astral magic and lucid dreaming and so on. Now, the exploration of randomness is a good one. I'm just trying to find out where I'm with my notes, and I've lost myself already. Here we go. Yes, forms of divination that I used. Again, crystal ball was a no-go. I didn't have any because I couldn't find one big enough, and I couldn't quite grasp that. Tea leaves, had a little go, didn't see much good with those. Cards, 50-50, can't touch tarot, but playing cards did work. And then I moved off onto the other forms. Now, another one that sort of came in along with the fire scrying, mainly because of my childhood, was cloud scrying. And I'm sure most people have probably experienced cloud scrying. Not necessarily knowing that it is scrying, laying out on the grass or in the fields, looking up at the clouds, seeing the shapes, what shapes they form, and interpreting them. That is a basis of scrying, and that I do enjoy still now. Some of the next areas that I've started to explore is moving water, the sea. I live in the UK, down in Dover on the coast. I've never been far away from the sea, and the sea is everything. I try and spend what time I can there. Sometimes life just gets in the way, but I find nothing better than just to be on the beach looking at the waves. I've attempted to use those as a form of scrying, but again, not got very far, mainly because of the higher speed of change. Now, there's been some other recent ones. I was mentioning as we were waiting, that's ice cream scrying. It's utterly insane, but interesting. Preferably not a plain, say, a vanilla ice cream scrying, but a Neapolitan or anything where there's more than one colour or type of ice cream in the bowl. Because what you want then is to see the swirls with the different colours and flavours mingling to make shapes. Now, it doesn't necessarily just have to be ice cream. It could be liquid or viscous liquid that produce similar results, like gravy, sauces, anything like that. It's an area I need to further explore. My encountering of that was through Phil Hines' books on chaos magic. I don't know if you know much about a particular set of practices, but the idea there is that systems are restrictive. So the idea is to not be held within those systems and to explore crazy new things. Such fun things as like channeling the spirits of your favourite teddy bear or invoking the power of Superman and other fictional characters. And it's all pretty funky and quite mad. Intriguing. It is. There's another one. I don't know if you're old enough or if you're too young to know the Marx Brothers, Groucho, Harpo and so on. Well, they've got an evocation of the Marx Brothers. It's hysterically funny. It's the whole point is to reduce pomposity of ceremonial magicians. It's brilliant to read. And I suggest, okay, Phil Hine, he's still around, he's in the UK. I think that book's up in the upstairs. It might be, let me get my book. I've got a entry here. It's got my book list up. There's Phil Hine and Peter J. Carroll are the two guys we're looking at down there. Right, so here we go. Prime Chaos, here we go. I think this is, might be that one. Prime Chaos, Adventures in Chaos Magic. And where's the other one? Or it could be this one. No, that's the same one. Have I got any others? I'm sure I've got a couple of his. Through. Oh, and if you want to read some seriously great stuff, is The Liber Chaos by Peter J. Carroll. Oh, and he's got another one as well. Where's that one? Here we go. Cyber Magic, Advanced Ideas and Chaos Magic. They are pretty awesome, pretty amazing, and do make you think somewhat about the whole path you may be on. Anyway, back to the idea. Another one, and this was only about a month ago, before I headed down to the Artemis Gathering to give this talk for the first time. We were away camping for a week, and what happened there was... Oh, we have someone joining us. Oh, that's a pretty funny name. Okay, let's just... I'm sure she's staying. Hang on, let's just make sure. Okay, let's just see, get voice going up. Hopefully she can... That switched on within the next 30 seconds. Okay, come on. there's always one. Okay, I don't think... Okay, let's give her one more chance. Oh, right, okay. Oh, right, okay, right, okay. Right, should be on now. Hopefully you can hear me okay. Okay, I will continue. Just as well, I'm recording this. Excellent, cool. I am recording this for podcast, so you hopefully should be able to hear it back. What I will do, let me just get the URL for the notes. Those are the notes for this current session. If you keep an eye on the website, then the podcast should appear fairly soon, maybe the next couple of days. But okay, yes, as I was saying, the few days before I came down to Artemis Gathering, before I gave this talk for real a month ago, we were away camping, and we didn't have enough stuff with us, so I actually went to the laundrette on the campsite. And normally when we've got the washing machine in the house, is you throw the washing in the washing machine and then you just walk away from it. But being I was in the laundrette with nothing better to do, waiting for it to finish, I actually discovered the washing machine presented an interesting scrying opportunity. It was not quite what I was hoping for. It's, yes, the washing machine going round and round and round. Okay, this was a really big washing machine, but again, it's this randomness. The randomness of things happening creates the shapes, much like the clouds with the fire and sunset, yes, and the ice cream scrying. All of this is creating shapes. Now, again, it depends on how you view your interpretation of scrying and any kind of divination where symbols are coming along. But if you've explored dream interpretation, where this kind of phenomenon occurs, where most of the time you get a dream interpretation book and it says you'll see a bird flying through the sky and it means this, well, most of the time we end up feeling, no, that doesn't make any sense. From my point of view, the interpretation of dreams and imagery through scrying is a very personal experience and down to personal interpretation. Now, you should be, and it doesn't matter if you're not, but I suggest that if you are doing any magical work, you are fully documenting all your experiences. This is absolutely fundamental for things such that I do of visualization, projection, and, oh, someone's asking for a TP. Oh, I think I know this person, so they will, hopefully they'll better catch up. Where was I saying? I've completely thrown now. I should have had the, I could play back the podcast, but hey. Jen, dream interpretations, document experiences. Thank you, people. Oh, and Jen's online. Yes, document experiences. So with any dream work, a dream diary is important. Same with scrying. And this, as it goes back to my earlier comments, where you need to have a finding the medium in which to perform your scrying, having the correct items that will help you is very important. So you would need to document what works, what doesn't, and then progress. So coming down to interpretation, whisper? Oh, hopefully she heard that. Cool. She's switched on. Cool. Similar to the dream interpretation, my views are, when using, and this is going to sound mad for those that have only just turned up, but scrying with ice cream. Okay, good to see you. Pick up the podcast. Okay, no worries. Don't worry, Ashleen. That's all right. I am recording this, unusually. So, let me just... Oh, lag. Yes, interpretation ice cream. Thank you for prodding me. For interpretation of things like the ice cream, the clouds, the fire, the washing machine, it all comes down to the imagery that your brain will fill in the gaps for. You generally, psychologically, the mind will see an image and it will then try and interpret it somehow and create sense out of it. If you do like ink blots, drawing pictures, or find Wally, or any of these things where optical illusions are in place, the brain is desperately trying to make sense of this image and it will do whatever it can do. That's an automatic process. That's whether that imagery is coming from something physically in front of you or is being presented via a clairvoyant means, it all has some way to try, your brain will try and interpret the image to however it needs to. So that's why, where there's anything that's creating a random pattern, is essentially a means to scrying. Now, you could say that a natural force such as fire and clouds is acceptable as a scrying medium, whereas the washing machine, it being a machine of our making, it's okay, it is doing some randomness, but it's not got the forces of nature fully in control of it because it's a man-made thing. And you may say that is not a valid form of scrying. Okay, Aisling, you are talking in the group chat, just so you know, and not in nearby, in local. It's okay, don't worry, it's just that people on group chat might get a bit upset. It's easily done, not to worry. But yes, scrying, it's a great thing. And as I said, I've got some, where's the notes? I got my notes handy. Yeah, there we go. There's no note card because I did this for real some other place. So, scry, how to enter scrying, and time is moving on, so I'm going to try and get this finished. Oh dear, we've got quite a bit. Now, again, a very personal approach. For me, fire scrying is not an issue. I follow the same rules I actually use for visualization and astral projection because I find they work for me. Now, that is, and of course this only works for me, but this should be some, hopefully some help to those that are working out how to tackle this. I find first thing in the morning, I can't scry, I can't project or do visualization because I am too wide awake. Going back to what Robert Bruce said of mind awake, body asleep, I need to be not running around like a lunatic. I need to be relaxed. For the time zone I'm in the UK, it's 8:45 in the evening. For me, this is prime time scrying, visualization and astral projection time. This is it. Now, had this been a working day, I'd have got home by 6. Kids would have been in bed by 7:30, 8 o'clock. Things, I would have then be calming down and starting to relax. Now, from about 8 p.m. through to 10 p.m, I will be in the best state. I'm still awake. I'm starting to tire as the evening goes by, but my aches and pains and stress is all gone. I'm relaxed. So mind awake, body asleep. So I am the most receptive. And as I said earlier on about the TV replacing the fireplace and that flickering light being a very comforting thing to watch, perfect. So I have a fireplace here. I'm staring at it now. I actually cleaned it out because it's I need to give it another clean. I'm just preparing it for winter use. If it's during the summer, then I'd use an outside bonfire for scrying. Not often, but I tend to mostly do this through the winter because it's more relaxing. So I will then just fire that up, maybe have a little bit of wine, which I've got now and I've not had any of it yet because I keep talking, and I'll just relax and just let my mind just wander and see what the flames produce. That tends to go for most other forms. The ice cream scrying, yeah, that might be over dinner and it'll be dark, subdued lighting, and I'll be relaxed and full from dinner, and that will then just be enjoying the company and so on, and then I'll just end up scrying. The only difference was the washing machine, that was in the morning, so that was probably why it didn't work for me. And I'll just let the flames dance and then just see what happens. Previous examples, now not necessarily everything's correct every time. On some scrying things, I've only seen silly things like rabbits and squirrels jumping around and just meant nothing to me. Whereas other instances, I've seen some pretty cool shapes like dragons and snakes and axes and all sorts of mad things that seem to have actually made some kind of sense at the time. And this goes back to the dream interpretation stuff. And this is the hard thing. What actually is the hardest is knowing time spans. I found this generally with divination as a whole. This comes to a fantastic thing that is mentioned in the one of the books that I mentioned earlier, the Peter J. Carroll's one, in I think it was Liber Chaos, could be the other one, which was, and I've now lost it, oh, it doesn't really matter. A great phrase, I've got it here and I will read it. The concept is, in Chaos Magic, to enchant long, divine short. The idea there, behind that statement is, if only one-fifth of your spells work, you have real power. If only one-fifth of your divination work, you have a serious disability. And the idea behind that is that spells cast well in advance can take advantage of the chaotic nature of the universe in the interim to manifest. The idea there is lots of cause and effect of events bumping into each other to bring about your intent. But that same chaotic randomness will affect divination further you divination sessions are ahead. So its idea is that you go quite short. Okay, no worries. Thanks for coming by, Aisling. You're welcome. Keep an eye on that link. Not necessarily that link, but the website, and hopefully something will be up soon. So, where was I? Yes, time. So, generally, as long as you're well on the board. I like you. I normally have to have somebody in the room trying to drag me back onto topic. It's usually Jen, but she's away, I think, at the moment. So she's not able to keep jabbing me and dragging me back on. So I tend to not use divination for timescale related stuff. I generally don't use divination at all now. I tend to use scrying primarily for just immediate effect, things that are likely that my goddess wants to present to me in a more convenient form. But if I was doing divination for time, then I would try and keep it as short as possible. Oh, crikey, time is going. Okay, I think what we will do there is wind up. I just do scrying as a whole just for entertainment and relaxation now. It's great fun. And I would recommend scrying to further enhance your skills in other areas and to hone your skills and to explore your subconscious in a bit more detail. It's fun. And explore as many different options as you can. So, 10 minutes. People haven't been asking any questions. Not that you have to, as I say, but hopefully some of that might have sunk in, and hopefully that might have made some kind of sense. As usual, I'll hang around for a little while longer for any questions. You've got to run. Thanks for coming along. Next class will be here in 2 weeks. That may be on evocation. My healing circle is a week on Monday in the tavern, and all welcome to come along to that. Thanks for coming. Much appreciated. Oh, creative visual. Yes, it is. Now, Second Life, a way of creative visualization. It is. You see, I tend to do a lot of astral magic and so on, where everything is through visualized form. And this is the next best thing to what I do in my craft life, because everything is pretty much non-existent. The imagery is presented to me without having to work at it or enter any kind of altered state. So fully creative, you can create things here and they've essentially manifested. I've done plenty of rituals here. I've done healing through Second Life, perfectly valid. And it's a great medium to try these fun things. No worries. on the blog as well, if you haven't been to any of the previous sessions, there is a link to all the cast notes for the whole series. I should be restarting them once I've got some of these odd ones sessions out of the way. Yay. I don't think any of you in the UK, so you won't be coming along to the Witchfest one, which will be on the topic of cyber paganism and chaos magic. Ooh, I will present that one here towards the end of the year because my Witchfest crowd will want to hear it first. And that will be in mid-November. I might do it straight after, once I've come back. Have I actually got class that Sunday following it? I don't know, maybe. You may be lucky and have it the day after. No worries, thank you for coming along. And hope to see you again soon. I may drop along to the that's actually quite an interesting thought. Yes, body image is quite an important thing, especially to those that recently done it. Okay, what I'll do is I'm just going to end the podcast recording. Just so I don't... Okay, thanks for listening.